we are going to reflect on the Eucharist. That is the heart and the center of all Christian life. I like to talk about the Eucharist, because if Jesus is the center of everything, if the Eucharist is the heart of the Church, if the Church draws her life from the Eucharist, then the Eucharist is the center of everything. And He has to be the center of our lives too. Every day, in a more clear way, in a more powerful way. And I was thinking to read this at the end, but I think I'm going to read it at the beginning. This is John Paul II, Ecclesia Eucharistia. He said, number 60, at the dawn of this third millennium, we, the children of the Church, are called to undertake with renewed enthusiasm the journey of Christian living. As I wrote in my apostolic letter, Novo Millennio Ineunte, it is not a matter of inventing a new program. Nothing new has to be done. It's not a matter of pastoral plans. It's not a matter of meetings here and there. It is not a matter of inventing a new program. The program already exists. It is the plan found in the Gospel and in the living tradition. It is the same as ever. Ultimately, it has its center in Christ Himself, who is to be known, loved, and imitated. Christ, the center of everything. He has to be known, loved, and imitated, so that in Him we may live the life of the Trinity, and with Him transform history until its fulfillment in the heavenly Jerusalem. And this is his conclusion, the implementation of this program of a renewed impetus in Christian living passes through the Eucharist. The renewal of the Church, the renewal of society, the renewal of family, the renewal of our heart passes through the Eucharist. That's why we need to be always and constantly coming back to Him, to the only one that can transform our lives and our hearts, to the one who is love, to the one who has given Himself for us. The Vatican Council said, for the most holy Eucharist contains the Church's entire spiritual wealth, Christ Himself, our Passover and living bread. Through His own flesh, now made living and life-giving by the Holy Spirit, He offers life to men. Then, in order to become holy, if we really want to be holy, we need to go to the only source of Christian and total holiness, that is Christ Himself. There is no other source of holiness, Christ. Through Him we reach the Trinity. He is the bridge. He is the pontifex. He is the high and eternal priest. Through Him we reach the Father and the Holy Spirit. Through the Eucharist, we can share the divine life. That's why the Church is always presenting us the Eucharist. Because there is no other option. The gaze of the Church is constantly turned to her Lord, present in the sacrament of the altar, in which she discovers the full manifestation of His boundless love. we need to contemplate our Lord in the Eucharist and to discover all the richness that it is there. One of the things that impresses me very much is that the liturgy of the Church is not just a theater where we just represent something that happened many years ago. Through the sacraments of the Church, through the liturgy of the Church, and especially through the Eucharist, we can be present, personally present, living with Christ his whole Paschal mystery. We can share, we can contemplate through the liturgical celebration the death of Christ, his passion, his suffering, his resurrection. We can contemplate that. We can be present there. And not only that, he has established this sacrament to help us to live the same way that he lives. We will see that a little later. If we want to understand the Eucharist, we need to go to the very beginning, to the upper room of Jerusalem, where Jesus was establishing the sacrament of the Eucharist. We have to see that the Eucharist and the priesthood, these two huge mysteries, were coming out of the heart of Jesus together, the two of them, because the priest lives for the Eucharist. His main mission is the Eucharist, to represent Christ as a priest, to act in persona Christi, and at the same time the Eucharist is Christ present in his Church. Then if we go there to the upper room of Jerusalem, when Jesus was celebrating the Last Supper with his disciples, he was there with a big desire to give his life for us. He said to his disciples, "I have ardently longed to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And he said to, "I have baptism to be baptized with, and how I long for to be accomplished." Then this great desire of the Lord to suffer and to give his life for us, that you can think how the heart of Christ was in that particular moment when he was about to be abandoned by his disciples, he was about to be betrayed by one of them, and he was about to suffer. He knew that the passion was coming, and in the midst of all of that, his heart is with a great desire to give his life. His heart is full with an infinite love, and that love was making him to give his life in complete freedom, because it is not that Jesus was like, he didn't know what was going to happen. He knew perfectly well what was the mystery of redemption, and he knew very well what was going to be the passion. And with that, with an act of perfect freedom, and out of love, he gave himself. And not only once, but forever. And precisely through this sacrament of the Eucharist, he created this mystery in which that act of love is eternally present in the Church. then every time that we attend to the Holy Mass, we can be there present in the upper room, and we are spectators. We can see in some way in faith that act of self-giving that Christ did. That act of love was the beginning of a transformation. The transformation of the world and history. Because what Jesus did was to accept on him all the violence and suffering. He was accepting the cross for the redemption of the world. But he did in his heart that transformation where the most horrible violence, the most horrible injustice on him was transformed in his heart into a perfect act of love. Then this transformation of the world continues today, and it has to continue also in our lives. We need to learn from the Eucharist and from Jesus Christ how to transform our sufferings into love. How to transform our difficulties, our daily crosses, into daily love. How to transform temptations of bitterness and despair and darkness, to transform that into living water of hope and love. This transformation can be done only with Him, by His grace, with His help. And Jesus is in the Eucharist the bread of life, the source of all life. I am the bread of life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. Pope Benedict recently in a homily was speaking also about this life, how Christ is the life of the world, and said, when we think about life, for many of our companions, for many people around us, they have the same idea of life that the prodigal son had. Life for him was just to enjoy as much as you can. Life for him was to drink as much as you can of this passing happiness, of these pleasures of the world. That was the concept of life that he had and that many people have today. And the Pope said that after a while the prodigal son discovered that false idea of life was bringing him only sadness, loneliness, emptiness. And then he went back to his father. Benedict XVI was explaining that the true idea, the true concept of life can be found in Jesus, and he was speaking mainly about chapter 10 of St. John, the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd is giving his life for the flock, for the sheep. Then he said that looking at him, we can also understand that life is self-giving. That's the true concept of life. The same way that Jesus gave himself, if we want to live, if we want really to know what is life, it is self-giving. Because life is only worthy to be lived if we make of our life a gift. Gift of love, as Jesus did. In complete freedom. Because true love can exist only in true freedom. Nobody is forcing us to do anything. Nobody was forcing Jesus Christ. And I think it is important to understand that he was in complete freedom, that he gave his life. Also for each one of us, when the Lord is asking us to live with him, to love with him, to give our lives with him for the redemption of the world, he wants us to do that in complete freedom, to accept all the demands of love and self-giving. And only accepting that, we can give our lives. Knowing what we give and realizing that it is only through giving that we will have something. To keep is the best way to lose everything. The one who wants to keep his life will lose it. But the one who gives his life will keep it. Then, if you want to have life, give your life. And I wanted to say also that the Eucharist is that a medicine, is the bread of eternal life, and it is only eating the Eucharist, receiving Jesus Christ, that we are going to be healed of our wounds. When we receive the Eucharist, we receive the glorified flesh of Christ. And in some way, we start living eternal life here. It's the beginning of our immortality, our eternity, when we eat Jesus Christ, the glorified Lord. Pope Leo XIII wrote an encyclical letter, Mirari Vos, about the Eucharist, and there he said that even against the temptations of our flesh, the temptations of our sensuality, the Eucharist is the best medicine. Then if we realize that we are sick people, that we need a very continuous treatment, we will take our spiritual pills every day. I have seen in this country many Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. My goodness gracious. Make almost kind of salad pills there. All of them together, different colors, different shapes. Well, he is medicine of immortality. Antidote against the death, Ignatius Pantheon. We have to realize, as St. Augustine said, you are the doctor, Lord, and I am sick. You are merciful, and I am a sinner. Then if we are sick, we need to go to the divine doctor, the humble doctor, who makes himself not only doctor, but medicine together, to give us life, to heal our wounds and our needs. And the Eucharist is also a school of life. It is a school of life. We learn how to live. That's why the Mass is not something that you can be sitting there and participate. The Mass is always something that is dynamic. Because it is an act of love, it is an act of self-giving that never stops. And in that act of Christ, he is inviting each one of us to share that act of self-giving Then when we are attending Mass, we are not just sitting and looking at Him, we are invited to participate, to give our life with Him, to make of our life a sacrifice for the glory of the Father. And then all your daily actions, even the most common ones, to study, to help others, to accomplish your duties, to clean your room. Something good to clean your room. When you don't find your pen that has fallen into the ground, that means that you have to sweep your room. Everything that you do in your daily life has a supernatural meaning. And when you come to the Eucharist, you present all your day, all your actions, all your life, all your sufferings, all your joys, you present them with Christ. In that torrent of grace, in that stream of love that is the Passion, the Eucharist, we are there involved. I'm going to read you this text of Pope Benedict. God is love. Number 13. He's talking about the Eucharist. Jesus gave this act of oblation an enduring presence through his institution of the Eucharist at the Last Supper. He anticipated his death and resurrection by giving his disciples in the bread and wine his very self, his body and blood at the new manna. The ancient world had dimly perceived that man's real food, what truly nourishes him as man, is ultimately the Logos, eternal wisdom. This same Logos now truly becomes food for us as love. The Eucharist draws us into Jesus' act of self-oblation. You see, the Eucharist draws us into Jesus' act of self-oblation. Then we cannot be there just looking at Jesus Christ. You need to be with Him on the altar. And that's how the Eucharist becomes the school of life, where we learn with Jesus how to give our lives with Him. Out of love, in complete freedom, with joy. Father, now he's a saint. I was lucky, I was able to be in Rome in last October, be present at his canonization. Father Damian, now Saint Damian de Veuster, the one who went to Molokai with the lepers. Then when he was there, he was explaining that sometimes, you can imagine, you know, in a church, in one of these islands, of course there was not air conditioning, there was not even the necessary medicine to take care of these people. And you know what is the leprosy? That your flesh is rotten on the top of your body. And when the flesh is rotten, you have no good smell. You can imagine a church full of people with this smell. And he said that when he was celebrating the Mass at the altar, many times he was tempted to run out just to have some little bit of fresh air to be able to breathe. And it was only, said the Eucharist, that I was celebrating, you know, the act of self-giving of Christ that was giving me the generosity to stay there, to be a priest for them, to celebrate Mass for them. You see how the Eucharist is the school of life. And the saints, they have learned how to live and how to die in union with Jesus, to give their lives. And in very intimate union with the celebration of the Eucharist, the participation of the Eucharist, it is also Eucharistic adoration. It's like a consequence. John Paul II said, in many places, adoration of the Blessed Sacrament is also an important daily practice. Hopefully, this is for all of us a daily practice, Eucharistic adoration, and becomes, he said, an inexhaustible source of holiness. You want to be holy? Go to be with the Holy One. Who is going to sanctify you unless the Holy One? If you really want to be holy, you need to go to Him, to spend time with Him, to be in His presence. He is the only one that can transform your heart, the only source of sanctity. Then you don't look for sanctity anywhere else. And this is Pope Benedict. The act of adoration outside Mass prolongs and intensifies all that takes place during the liturgical celebration itself. Indeed, only in adoration can a profound and genuine reception mature. And this is very important, would be my final idea. I have been now working with young people for 25 years, more or less. I have seen in my own experience and many other people that I have been dealing with and working with that daily Eucharist is not enough. And I'm going to explain this and you will see that it's exactly what the Holy Father is saying here. Of course, Jesus Christ, when we receive communion, we receive everything. That's true. But the fruit of the Eucharist depends on the attitude we have in our hearts. Then here, if we are 70 or 80 people, whatever, we will all receive the Eucharist tonight. But the Eucharist is going to produce different fruits in each one of us, depending on the attitude of my heart. If you have two fields, I will give the same example. If you have two fields, and you have been working very well, one of them preparing that soil, removing the stones, everything, and then you take the best of the seed and you throw the seed in the two fields, which one is going to produce more fruit? The one that you have been working, of course. Even though the seed is the same. Well, that is exactly same case of the Eucharist. If you go to Mass every day but you don't have a life of prayer, the Eucharist is going to produce less fruit in your heart because your heart is not ready. And the best way to prepare your heart is through frequent confession, through Eucharistic adoration, and through a life of charity, virtue and charity. It's not just a matter of being there, kneeling down. Of course, we need to do that. But if we pray, if we really pray, everybody will see that we pray. How? Because we will be more humble, more charitable, less selfish, etc. Then a life of virtues is the fruit of adoration. It's a fruit of a true prayer. And in fact, sometimes say, Father, I go there, but I don't know if, you know, prayer is working or not, it's not working. Well, the thermometer are your virtues. Are you growing in virtue? When you are growing in your purity, when you are growing in your generosity, when you don't complain, when you become like more capable of mortify yourself, to deny yourself certain little things, to serve others. Remember that the Eucharist is the sacrament of love. And then the fruit of the Eucharist has to be charity. Charity in your words, charity in your actions, charity in your thoughts. Well, that's it. I don't want to go some ideas that can help. The main thing, I think, is to discover the Eucharist as something dynamic. My life has to be on the altar. My life has to be on the altar. St. Augustine used to say to the Christian, you are the bread that is on the altar. We as church, we are one body, one bread. And that bread has to be on the altar with Christ. My life has to be a self-giving, out of love, with Christ, for the church. And here we can understand a little bit how deep is this mystery of the Eucharist. And much more we pray, much more we need humility, and much more we need to ask the Holy Spirit to penetrate and to help us to penetrate the mystery of Christ, and mainly to make the mystery of Christ my own mystery. It is not anymore I who live, it is Christ who lives in me, and hopefully it is also Christ who dies in me, who gives his life in me, who is also glorious and full of life in me. May our Blessed Mother, the Mother of the Eucharist, help to understand and above all help us to, in a more, the deeper way, the meaning of the Eucharist, of our daily Eucharist, the best way to transform our lives and to transform the world. Amen.